The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
Cloaked in secrecy, they show up without warning. State their business, then vanish as quickly as they appear.
Are you ready for the sex girls?
Not that I believe in it, but I could see that. But these guys are dumb.
Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Say it again. Fish and chips chips.
Fish and chips chips. Chips that taste like fish and chips?
Yeah.
Well, they're halfway there.
Yeah. But chips would be fries.
Oh, right.
Because it's English.
Right, yeah.
Tartar sauce flavored chips.
Chips would be crisps.
Crisps.
They have crisps. It's hard to pluralize crisps.
Yeah, they really make it hard for themselves over there.
Yeah.
What?
You think they just give up and just don't even try to pluralize, just crisps?
Crisps.
Gonna have some crisp.
You ever see the video of the cat massaging the dog and it's talking to it like it's a psychologist?
No.
It's like, you don't want the ball anymore. You don't even need the ball. And here's somebody opening a bag. No, don't. Just help somebody opening a packet of crisps. Don't pay any attention. You don't need the ball anymore.
That's funny.
Did I start too soon before we...
Oh, did you start already?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Should I not have you? I'll stop it. We'll start it again.
Yeah, once you stop it, we'll start it again. You know?
Yeah, we're just going to be some wanderers.
Just like kayaking. You just get in and see where the river takes you.
No, you paddle.
And I guess. And it's taking you in one direction, really, because the river flows.
True. A river metaphor. You went with the kayak instead of...
You ever been kayaking?
Yeah, I fucked with a kayak before.
Some of the most fun I've ever had.
I never did river kayaking. We would go to Long Beach and just get a six-pack and paddle around rich people's houses.
I used to do white water rapids.
Oh, you're a real adventurer.
Extreme dude back in the day.
Yeah?
Yeah. Rad dude, too. But yeah, we'd... up in the North Georgia Mountains.
Yeah.
The Nantahala River. We'd drop off. And it's cool because for like a mile, you're just chilling.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, here come the rapids.
Were you in like one of those blow-up rafts or was it a kayak?
It was an actual kayak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where you're like down in it. You're like real. I like to sit. Like you're literally, you know, I mean, you're in the kayak, but the kayak, like
it
your waist.
Blows into it.
Yeah. Your waist is below water. Like, you're down in the river.
Do you, like, turn around, like, go upside down and stuff?
I never could do that. I could never do a full, but I would definitely fall on my side and then pop back up. But I never, you know.
It just looks like you're just throwing your head at rocks.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that
stuff.
Even
with all the biking, I'm like, that just looks like there's no control to kayak. Like, there it goes.
So much fun, though. That's something I would do if... you know, I had the motivation to do other things.
Well, what are you motivated to do right now? Drink some of this whiskey.
Mm-hmm. That tastes like rubbing alcohol.
I mean, some Utah, it was Utah whiskey. I don't know if you can trust a bunch of Mormons with your liquor. not that they drink it, they just wouldn't know what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, put this orange in some gasoline. Here you go.
So what you been doing, buddy?
I've just been on a bender this week.
Yeah, you've been getting after it?
I've been being a real real booze floozy.
What you been doing?
Drinking booze and then behaving as such. Did a show on a roof last night where the owners told me to stay away from the sides of the building.
Was this a planned show or did you?
Yeah, no. I was an unsanctioned performance. I do interactive performance where I surprise people with my comedy. I found out today somebody stole one of my bits, but as a poem. So I think that's pretty fun.
Wow.
I'm not even as if a comedian stole it or somebody like, but a poet. It's a little bit flattering.
What do you mean a poem?
Well, here I'll read the poem. The poem by Moneta Goldsmith.
Moneta Goldsmith,
called "A Fairly Public Vow to Be More Monastic."
Oh God, I already hate it.
That's not what I would have titled the bit.
Yeah, I don't even know what monastic means, but I can feel
I have
that
to look
I
it up.
I don't
just
like
means
it.
Be more like a monk.
But as from as a joke I did on Conan back in 2012. This was on a website called xfic.com, November 1st, 2014. He paraphrased some of it, but it's there.
Do you think Monado's a dude or a gal?
It's a guy. I did a little research. It's a guy. He's done some poetry readings and such. But he says, I have no idea what true love is, but last night at the cafeteria, I overheard a woman order a Thousand Island iced tea. Now, I said bar because that's where you order drinks, not a cafeteria, so you already botched it. But then, yeah, he paraphrased the rest of it, but it's all the same bit. And it ends with about wanting to go up to the woman and saying, let's just make a mess of the next 15 months or so of our lives and go our separate ways.
Wow. He didn't even alter it enough to make it unrecognizable.
No, no, not at all.
The same way KFC will take the damn Sweet Home Alabama lick and tweak it just enough to where they can't get sued for copyright.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what they've done?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you – like a lot of these commercials you hear like, you know, I can't even mouth guitar the – dun, 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 but they'll change – they'll change the note just ever so slightly.
Yeah, the Vanilla Ice explaining why
exactly.
He did not take under pressure. Yeah.
So if you're going to steal your bit and make it a stupid poem, at least change it up a little.
Yeah. Moneda Goldsmith was the 2013 grand prize winner of Sparks Anthology Poetry Contest. I hope this wasn't the poem that got it. I feel like I should get a cut of that $50. His prose and poetry can be found at such places as Sparkle and Blink, Under the Influence, and Best New Writing of 2014. I'll take some credit for some of that Best New Writing then, too.
What if a lot of different poets were doing this to your material?
Or
like, what if we came across another poet about a guy telling a story about the time he had to shit in a bar?
Well, I wonder, like, to dip into the comedy world and take away... And lifting bits, but to repurpose them in different areas of the arts.
Yeah, and like, and this could be going on. How would we know? I don't have my finger on the pulse of modern poetry.
Well, if it made somebody want to make a painting or something, I'd be incredibly flattered. And somebody, you know, I've had a couple guys in bands say they name songs after.
Oh, really?
Some stuff. Yeah, and I thought that was cool.
That is cool.
You can't just take the words.
Yeah.
You can't just, you know, transcribe the words and be like, look, I'm a poet. So, hey, Moneda Goldsmith, not cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm flattered, but come on, man. And you're an artist, too. You're not a comic just starved for.
Well, he sounds like a real fucking dork.
Well, I always thought poets – I wanted to give poets more integrity than this.
Why?
Because they're not just
– I never gave a shit about poetry.
Chuckle whores looking for, like, please laugh at my dick jokes.
I just
– You do care about poetry because you like music.
But poetry set to music is now music.
Yeah, but still.
But just some – pretentious blowhard in a coffee shop rambling on with shit that don't even rhyme. All right, if it rhymes, okay.
You're one of those.
Good for you.
Rhyme, it doesn't snap.
But just this stream of consciousness bullshit, I could do that. That's like shitty actual art. Like, if I could do it, is it art? If I could paint that piece of shit,
but,
is it art?
The same reason why... You watch somebody that uses very few words for comedy and is hilarious versus somebody who's just up there bullshitting and takes so long to get to a point.
Difference being, though, with comedy, you know immediately if it worked or not, whether you got a laugh or not. Are we supposed to do? How do you gauge poetry?
You haven't ever listened to somebody speak and just been affected by it or understood the emotion they were trying to convey?
Eh.
You ain't reading books there, Dave?
No, I read books, but like...
Books just...
I'm saying
poem.
In a live setting, in a live poetry reading.
Well, no, it's definitely... But also, our view of entertainment has been warped by going to see comedy every night.
Mm.
You know, people aren't hooting, hollering, banging their beer bottles on the table.
I think poetry... I'm not saying all poetry shit, and I know there are people that do it well, but I think it's one of those art forms that invites a lot of posers. Like,
so does comedy. A lot of tourists, especially now.
Of course. But my point is the posers are quickly and easily identified when they're not getting any laughs. But I think certain forms of music and certain forms of poetry, you can just kind of fake it till you make it. Like, if you weren't moved by you, you don't get it. But, like, you know what I'm saying? There's no immediate – even music. As much as I love music, like, okay, I guess if they clap after the song or scream, you know, in between songs. But that's why comedy is so beautiful in the sense that you know right then in the moment if it's going well or not.
Yeah, but I think it's also the other poets, other people that know what they're looking at can tell, like, oh, that's a, you know, economy of words, usage, the beat poetry stuff that can be easily made fun of that everybody makes fun of, like, and I talk like this.
Exactly.
Like, that's a lampoon. Like, that's when everybody made fun of Dane Cook for his style. Like, what the was that?
Yeah, just
du jour to shit all over Dane Cook, and so everybody's doing, and people do that style too, that kick your hip out and I'm talking and I talk with my body type thing, interpretive dance comedy. But anyway, so that happened, and then a squirrel fell off the awning today. Never seen a squirrel fall. Rachel saw it. I didn't see it, but it was funny. She's like, there's a squirrel on the awning. I'm like, oh, that's not that exciting. She's like, it fell. I'm like, that's news. And it went out. It was just on the ground, just sitting there. It wasn't hurt, but you could tell it was like, oh, yeah, you didn't know this could happen. Like, I saw a squirrel understand mortality.
Wow.
Like, the squirrel sat there like, that's not supposed to happen. I'm a squirrel.
Huh. You know,
it felt for that two stories from that awning there.
Poor
and
little.
Just sat there for a while, just really – I had to rethink everything it knew about the world.
Wow.
It just sat down there like, all right, I'm living in a new reality now.
Why do I love...
Slowly started climbing another tree. Like, let's not do that ever again.
I would have liked to have seen that. Why do I love squirrels and hate rats? It's essentially the same thing with
aesthetics.
A fluffy tail.
It's aesthetics.
But other than the tail, they're almost identical, right?
No, rats are ugly to some, more uglier. Also what they stand for, squirrels in a tree and nature eating a nut, rats in a kitchen shitting in your soup.
If you took a squirrel and a rat and you chopped both their respective tails off, not that you'd want to, and I'm sorry to paint that picture, but if you had a bobtail squirrel and a bobtail rat.
That's your Red Room video.
Would you be able to tell the difference?
Yeah. Want to look up squirrels?
Not sure that I would.
Rats.
I feel like they're the same animal with different tails.
Look at the face. No, rats just... Well, there's a whole... Somebody did a whole blog with two parts.
On rats?
But people have been really asking this question.
Rats creep me the fuck out, man. I'll be honest with you. It's the only phobia I have. I do not like rats.
This has been... Wow, there's a lot of articles on this.
Snakes don't bother me. Spiders don't bother me. Bugs. None of that shit. And it's weird because I'm not like physically afraid of them. I know they're not going to attack me. And I mean, they might, you know. But like
snakes, I just can't see like a personality in them.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have an affinity for snakes, but they don't bother me. If a snake crawled in the room right now, I would just be like, hey, look at that. That's a snake. But if a rat came running through here, then all right, I got to go.
You know what? If a snake came through here right now in my apartment, I would be equally as concerned. Rat, I could understand. Snake, well, where the fuck did that come from?
Yeah, they're doing their own thing. They're mysterious.
No, unacceptable. Unacceptable.
There's
a snake in my home that I didn't know where it came from.
Well, it came from the outside. That's where it came from. What?
See?
Shut the fuck up.
I don't like that. Now Siri went off.
What the hell?
Alexa just goes off. We didn't even say Alexa. And now and it's addressing things. I got to talk to Rachel about that.
Speaking of
like it's
things
just,
in the room.
It's just listening now. You don't have to address it to turn it on. Ugh. Who's the real snake, Alexa? Yeah. Well, you light up your little top. Fucking sneaky bitch.
I don't know.
Shut the fuck.
I don't like this at all.
No.
I don't like this at all.
They're all listening. They're all listening. Siri went off when we were talking before. They're all
Let's start our own paranoia.
So Siri and Alexa are two different people? I know they're not people.
Alexa is the Amazon Snoop, and Siri is the Apple Snoop.
So you got them both coexisting in here.
Yeah.
Cohabitating with two different robots. Shut up!
There we go. That light went off quick.
Yeah, she knows.
It's only going to get worse. Maybe that's what we're going to talk about today. Just revisiting.
That is an interesting topic, and you're right. It's only going to get worse.
Was there other stuff you wanted to talk about? You're excited about you had a touching story you wanted to tell?
Oh, I did have a touching story. Not to get all sappy, but
you can have some.
Driving Lyft this week. I've been driving Lyft a little bit, and I found this odd. I was actually thinking of this before it actually happened. They have a little tally on our account, our profile, how many rides we've given. Mm-hmm. I've given over 2,000 Lyft rides.
Oh, no shit.
That's depressing.
You're not proud of that?
Yeah, I've been on TV for comedy more than once.
Not 2,000 times.
And here I am. Got 2,000 Lyft rides under my belt after I've been on TV with comedy. But yeah, and I was thinking, like, I'm sure it has happened, but I don't recall any repeat customers. Like, and most of that is because, like, I was thinking about this too. Like, literally, I would say 80% of the people who get in my car and sit 3 feet from me, I never even make eye contact with.
Yeah.
Like, when they get in, I'll turn my head, turn my body, and greet them.
Yeah.
But just real quick, hey, how's it going? And then, boom, I'm back.
Sure.
And I never see their face again. Even when I drop them off, like, all right, see you later, get out of here. And I'll hit the little remote, the little button that closes the door. Mm. So that's interesting in and of itself, the fact that, you know, 2,000 people been in my van and I never really make eye contact. So I don't remember ever having any repeat customers or repeat passengers until the other day. I had a sweet lady in Santa Monica, and I think her name is Cherie or Sherry. And I always have – I have my standard spiel, you know, much like when you go – if you're a server at a restaurant, you've got your – you know, hey, you guys been with us before? Our specials, blah, blah. So I got my standard spiel that I can kind of – I feel them out to see if they want small talk or not.
Yeah.
So my standard is, you know, when they get in, I go, hey, how's it going? Get in. I make sure that, you know, Julie, right? And she's like, yeah, Dave, right? Yeah, all right. And then I just go, you know, how's your day going so far?
Yeah.
And that kind of opens the door, you know, if they want to – they want a small talk, they'll take the reins from there.
Yeah.
And I'll engage with them. I'll pacify them, you know. I'll sing and dance a little bullshit small talk. What do I care? And but if they're not, you know, and I've been that way. Like when I'm a passenger, a lot of times I'm just like, I'm good, thanks.
You can judge it.
Yeah, and, you know, I just want to sit here with my thoughts and enjoy this ride. So where was I going with this? Oh, yeah, I got my little spiel. And so anyway, the other day I picked up a lady. And making a little small talk, and I remember her well, maybe I should tell the first account. I don't know how to tell this story. All right. A year and a half ago, I picked up a lady, and I picked her up from a cancer hospital. Sweet old lady, and she was going through chemotherapy, and she even had like a bandana on. You could tell that she was in the midst of chemo and its effects, and but just – sweetest lady, just real bubbly personality, and I picked her up from a cancer hospital and drove her home. It's about a 20-minute ride, and I just remember some of the bullet points of our conversation. She had just moved out here from Dallas to be closer, A, to be closer to her grandkids, and B, there was a really good cancer hospital, and she was telling me all about her cancer, and I forgot what kind of cancer she had back then, but like, even though she was cheery, she revealed subtly and in real subtle forms that it wasn't looking good.
Really?
Like, wasn't looking good for her. And she didn't look good. Like, she looked like, I don't know. She just and it was odd because even in her conversation, she had a positive outlook and she had a very good personality, but she real subtly revealed, like, you know, it may I don't have much time. And this was like a year and a half ago. And so the other day, I picked up the same woman, but didn't know it at the time.
Yeah.
No bandana, full head of hair, making small talk. How you doing? Oh, it's a beautiful day. Oh, what a beautiful day. Oh, I just love living in Santa Monica. I've only been out here a couple of years. I moved out here from Dallas to be closer to my two grandkids.
Really?
And blah, blah, blah. Just, and I go, And I'm thinking, where? What? And I go, hey, I think maybe I've driven you before. And she goes, oh, yeah, you know, I think maybe so. You look familiar. And then I go,
really?
This is a weird question. Did you used to have cancer? That's how I phrased it.
Yeah,
I said, this is a weird question. Did you used to have cancer?
Yeah.
And she goes, yes, I did. And she goes, Dave, right? Well, she already knew my name, but she said something to identify, like, yes, you're the guy.
Yeah.
And I go, yes, I remember driving you. That was like a year and a half ago. And she goes, and she said, I beat that motherfucker. That's what she said. She said, I beat that motherfucker. And I was driving her to a pot dispensary, and she's like, do you mind just waiting on me so I don't have to call in? I was like, absolutely. Went in. I guess she still takes, you know, uses that for that or whatever. But we talked about she had beaten it completely. She's out of the woods, head of hair, looked vibrant and healthy. Took her to a pot dispensary, waited on her for like 5 minutes. She gets back in. I drive her home, and she tipped me with a nug. She goes, this sounds – she said, I hope this isn't too personal. Do you partake? And I go, not while I'm driving Lyft, of course, but yes, I do. And she broke me off a big old nug and gave it to me and gave me a hug.
Oh,
so,
man.
Shout out to Cherie, who beat cancer. And like I said, it was not like it was not looking
That's
good.
That's a story.
Yeah.
We need more of those stories.
Yep. Just a cool, probably, I don't know, 65, 70 years old, just great Isn't personality. That- Lives out here, moved from Dallas. She's close to her grandkids, and she, I live 5 minutes from the beach, and I love Santa Monica, and I love taking Lyft, and I'll take the bus sometimes, and I don't drive.
That,
and,
like, makes any problem I was having feel so incredibly small.
Yep. So shout out to Cherie, and it's fun to see that. Like,
what a good story.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Beat cancer and living the hell out of her life over in Santa Monica, having a good time, so. Shout out to Cherie.
Also, the serendipity of picking up the same person twice.
Yeah.
And it being that story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's like an NPR pick-me-up story.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm sure the odds of 2,000 rides that I've picked up the same person twice, but I don't remember.
City of millions of people, you know?
That's true. I don't remember. That's the first time it's ever been like clear that, oh, shit, yeah, I picked you up before. And,
wow.
Just couldn't have been a sweeter lady. And I was like, oh, man. Because it was, I'll be honest, like, you know, the first time I drove her, it was a bit of a bummer, you know. Picked her up from a cancer hospital. Come to find out, you know, she got cancer, but yet she's got this great personality and sweet lady. And to think like, well, she probably doesn't have much time left.
I never realized. Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm going to a show or I'm coming home. I'm in a good mood. I feel like chit-chatting. But I'm sure, there's still people like, I got to go to the hospital. I got to visit somebody who's sick. You know, you get all kinds of moods and personalities in there, especially if you're driving during the daytime instead of just at night.
Yeah, and you do. You get all types of moods and all types of personalities. You know, and I beat myself up over the fact that I have to drive. You know, I wish I didn't have to drive Lyft. But, like, it's an interesting gig as far as just, you know, the social component, just meeting, you know, because some days I'll work all day. I might have 20, 25 people in one day in my van. And just that's 20 different lives, 20 different stories. And most of them, you know, are pretty mundane. But every now and then you'll meet somebody. You know, for good or bad, you'll meet somebody that sticks out. And so that was a nice one that was a positive one that I remember. So,
I like that story.
There you go.
We can't be negative today with a story like that.
Oh, man.
We were going to talk about militias, but it was a bit too heavy.
Yeah, last week was a bit heavy.
Yeah, when it gets heavy, and we're I'll happily talk out my ass about ghosts.
Yeah,
but when it's the other thing, I mean, we got a little backlash on that one.
And just to make it clear, I felt like we've been through this before.
Yeah.
In case there was any confusion or debate, we were not siding with the neo-Nazis.
Yeah.
Just to make that clear.
Saying the First Amendment protects the right to protest, as does it protect the right to protest the people protesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's murky waters.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to talk about, militias, because militias are like these diehard
constitutionalists like defend the law of the Constitution. My thing is like, why are these so unwavering to old documents, whether it be the Bible or whatever religious text or the Constitution? Like, nope, it was perfect. No, it's not perfect at all. I know that's what the amendments are for and everything, but like,
but the paper,
the old white guys wrote it on the paper, and that's how it's going to have to be forever.
Imagine if the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence did not exist, and imagine if, with a time machine, a handful of those dudes of our forefathers showed up in any town hall meeting and spewed some of their ideology. Not that, you know, I didn't mean that to be negative, but like, you know, made clear some of their ideology. Imagine how much of it, a certain percentage of it, would be labeled problematic. But yet we're now have to defend it to the death because it was written down on parchment paper.
Well, a bunch of slave owners talking about how these are the rights that every man should protect, and the use of the word man. What was the one constitute? Like, if you're so constitutionalist, like the stuff that was amended, like what was the prohibition they got rid of? Like, you can change this shit. But everybody's got the hard on for the freedom of speech. And I wasn't even defending freedom of speech. That's what the First Amendment is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they're protected by.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's right. But we don't have to get into that again. We start reading about militias a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit too heavy, man. Back to the ghouls and goblins.
I've always been interested in the topic, even before the relevance of in today's headlines. But we don't have to dig too deep into that if it's going to...
It seems like just too much, like giving a purpose to why they bought so many guns.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, I guess we're going to have to be a militia. I can't justify this many guns in my house. So it's because the government's going to take them away. And you have a fucking hard-on for guns. They make you feel tough. Somebody just admit, like, when I have a gun, I feel like a strong man. All right.
Guns are fun. I'll admit that. I've been a gun guy for 20 years.
You're like a tough dude holding a gun.
You know, and it's not even that. It's just... It's like I know they're not a toy. I know they kill people.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, there is a recreational component to it of like, oh, yeah, this is, you know, I mean, I don't want to.
Shooting at targets?
Yeah. Sure. You know, I don't want to get into all that. But, and also, I'm not, you know, I have always believed. Here's the problem with people that are completely anti-gun, okay? And I would consider myself a liberal. But I think some liberals. They give humanity too much credit, meaning some people just simply don't want to acknowledge that there are a certain amount of people on this earth that are pure evil. And when given the opportunity, will exploit and take advantage and harm others when they have that opportunity. So that being said, I do think most rational people should probably own some sort of defense. Well, now, whether it's a gun or whatever, gun is the most logical and easy to use. But, you know, and I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to sell anybody on that side. But point being, and I know that that is an argument that gets mocked a lot, like, oh, protect my family. And that gets mocked a lot. But yes, what if, and it, read the news, crime does happen. What if somebody breaks into your home? What if you come home and someone's raping your wife?
I have an earthquake kit.
So why not, in the microscopic chance that that would ever occur, why not be prepared?
Yeah. Well, I just like when groups like the NRA wouldn't say shit when Philando Castile got shot.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Well, no, we just support – this is for all Americans. Mm-hmm. What about the black ones?
They're
like pretty quiet.
No, and I'm not defending that. And I'm not even pro-NRA. I'm just
– No.
Just because someone wants to own a gun doesn't necessarily mean they're a right-wing nut.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, now I realize I'm dipping into stuff without knowing what I'm talking about, and I'm not drunk enough to just totally pull it all out of my ass. But I forgot – I wanted to find what – The one that, like, oh, shit. Well, whatever. Yeah, we don't have to get into the full racket of it because, yeah, have a gun. Be safe about it. I don't have a gun because I know I probably wouldn't be safe about it. One of those looks cool. Same reason with skateboard. I have skateboards that if you're drunk, don't get on a skateboard. And every time I'm in the garage, I'm like, I'll just stand on it. I'm just going to stand on it. I could still ollie.
Boom.
Yeah. I'm cracking my hip off the garage floor.
And I'll say this.
What weapon's the next weapon?
Everything I just said pertains more to females. Like, every girlfriend I've ever had, I've never been successful, but I've tried really hard to get them to buy and practice with a gun. I think females should have a nice little small pistol in their purse. I mean, I don't know. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Or at least, you know, have some mace, have some defense mechanisms. Something. What's the next thing beyond that? Like, now what's the thing in England? People are throwing acid on people.
Are they?
You can just get acid. Yeah, as long as, like, acid attacks.
Where do you get acid?
I guess any kind of, I don't know, chemical. People are, like, throwing bleach on people.
Wow.
Like, throwing it in their face, then robbing them.
Put it in a squirt gun. Put it in a water gun, squirt gun.
That's just I freaked out when I was a kid. Some kid was, like, chasing people around the park with a squirt gun filled with water. He's like, it's acid. And squirting kids. And I believed him, and I've never been more terrified.
We had a guy who did the exact same thing, but he said it was piss.
Yeah.
I paid in this.
I could handle some piss. I didn't want acid, though.
Could handle some piss.
Well, yeah, I wonder what the next thing is. What was it? Diplomats in Cuba were going deaf because of some sonic device. Did you hear that?
No.
Yeah, there was a, I'll find it now since we're going off topic. And hearing damage, there was a they think it was some sort of sonic weapon that was that was deployed. Health attacks left them with health problems and hearing loss. Acoustic attacks, that sounds pleasant. It sounds light, you know, kind of very smooth attack. Don't give me a fucking break. I don't know, man. Can't talk about the real stuff. It's a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, that's the time we're living in, man.
Talk about goblins and shit.
It is a bummer. We just got
our cult's all right, but not militias.
Our cult's all right.
Well, I would feel all right talking about a cult.
Oh, talking about a cult.
Yeah, but wouldn't a militia be?
I mean,
it's still a cult-like mentality.
A lot of cults also have guns.
Yeah.
Branch Davidians had a shit ton of guns.
Yeah. And that was where, like, these militias came from, is because the federal government, like, invading someone's privacy. But wasn't he just down there fucking kids? Like,
yeah, I mean, that's the,
and again, well, that,
the problem with cults. Is, yeah. You know, it's like, no, it's because of this, but you're also doing that.
I said, I always like cults for like the first half of the documentary. I'm always like, I would be in this cult. I would totally be in this cult. And then the leader's like, I got to fuck your kids. And I'm like, nah, I would have to quit the cult.
Well, see, that's ironic. That's exactly how I feel about militias.
Yeah.
The first half of the documentary of like, prepare, you know, take up arms, be prepared. We're not going to be offensive, but we will be reactionary to a oppressive federal government.
Yeah.
But then comes in all the racist and the white supremacist angles.
Yeah. Yeah. Where's the mix of the two? Where's the orgy militia? Where's the inclusive fuck militia that we need to have? Like, listen. No guns in the fuck room, all right? It's Friday. It's a full moon. Make sure your weapons are unarmed. There's nothing in the chamber. And we all grease up and fuck each other.
Oh, there's something in the chamber.
not in a metaphorical chamber.
Fuck militia. Oh, my God.
There's got to be some mix out there.
Oh, that sounds like a Ozfest offshoot summer concert tour.
I'm trying to embarrass the gathering of the juggalos. I'm just throwing the Fuck Militia Festival.
What's going on with them, by the way? They're doing something the same
them
day.
Again?
No, but aren't they having a big gathering the same day of a Trump
thing? They're having a march because, again, want to talk about the feds listed them as a gang, like categorized them
Did
as
they
a
really?
Gang? Yeah.
They list. And so they categorized the Juggalos as a gang?
The Juggalos as a gang.
That's funny.
So they're marching on D.C., the same day as some other thing, I forget which, if it's a white supremacist or something, and they're like, no, we don't want any, like, everybody will shit, like, I've watched enough of those, like, videos about gathering of the Juggalos and stuff, and yeah, they're a bunch of, you know, dirty, like, seemingly uneducated people, but it does seem like they go ultimate inclusion with it, like, no, if you're here... The whole family thing, I was about to say if you're here, your family, but that's Olive Garden's mm-hmm. slogan. But yeah. So Olive Garden has a lot in common with the Juggalos.
You did turn me around a little bit on the Juggalos.
Did you start listening to some of the songs?
No. The music's terrible.
No.
But the concept of the Juggalos, like I like anybody that doesn't take themselves too seriously. And I don't think those guys take themselves too seriously.
Well, and I was more... Well, you know, growing up like the punk rock scene, you realize how exclusive it still was. It was all like, ooh, we know this and they don't, so that's why it's cool. And Juggalos seemed like welcome aboard.
Yeah. Same thing with like indie rock or, you know, any type of tastemaker type stuff. Like, this is our thing.
Yeah, it was supposed to be for the outsiders, but then if a different outsider came in that didn't fit within the realm that you had established, it was like, no, fuck that guy. Yeah, it was still like, well, we're cooler than you. And the Juggalos seemed like, no, we're about everybody, which is definitely in the face of what the Klan would think. So now... You have Juggalos who hopefully are armed with hatchets. And the Juggalos are going to fucking be the
Is that their
line.
Weapon of choice, or do they talk about hatchets?
Yeah, man. I always talk about hatchets, dude.
See, I don't know the lyrics well enough to get the references.
I got a few.
That's funny.
I got a few songs.
Bunch of face-painted, hatchet-wielding goobers. Yeah.
Oh, that are surprisingly... And I don't want to sound too insulting. Like, in their simplicity, more inclusive than mm-hmm. most groups that are like, no, we welcome everyone. And you watch the videos, you watch the documentation, it's like, yeah, they're like, again, they're a marginalized group of people, but they accept all marginalized groups of people.
Yeah,
color, race, anything. It might be a little it's rough around the edges.
I got no problem with that. That's endearing to me.
I stand by the Juggalos when that shit goes down in D.C.
Did you ever watch that series, Galifianakis' new show, Baskets?
We just started watching it the other night. I know it's blasphemous for comedians. Yeah, and the Juggalo clown. That he was,
his buddy at Arby's.
Yeah, his protege, rodeo clown.
Oh, that's
protege.
So funny. What a good show.
Yeah, that was Rachel and I both like, we got to see this. Everybody's been talking about it.
So good. Season 2 is phenomenal as well, too.
We only watched the first 4 episodes.
And I love the fact that he has the twin brother character again. The opening scene, it's not a spoiler, but the opening scene of season 2, what's his name? Dale, his twin brother, is moving back in. Which
Their names are Chip and Dale.
Chip and Dale. And I love the Dale character because in Galifianakis' special, if people have seen that, and he's revealed it a few other places, but his twin brother character, Seth.
Yeah.
Very effeminate, but very passive, very Southern, effeminate, but very passive. But the Dale character is Southern and effeminate, but kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
And I love that. But the very opening scene of season 2, Dale is moving back in with Mom, and he's moving his stuff in. He hired a moving company, and he's signing the paperwork. They're wrapping up, and this big moving guy, he's got the clipboard. And Dale's standing by his van that has like the fathead logo wrap of his career college.
Oh, yeah, the career
college.
It's
got an image of him on it. And while he's signing the paperwork, he just goes, "That's me, by the way." Just points to the big fat head image of himself. "That's me, by the way." And the guy's like, "Whatever." There's so much little nuance and subtlety in that show that just kills me.
Well, that's why I really like Martha Kelly's great.
Oh, she's great.
One of the first... I think I met her in one of the first years I had doing comedy, like in 2000.
Oh, yeah?
In that Comedy Central Laugh Riots competition.
Huh.
Yeah.
The whole series, she's got a cast on her arm.
They never acknowledge it.
And for like, even in season two, like, how long is she going to wear this damn cast? Oh, damn. That
I'm
show.
Watch, I'm going to watch more of that tonight. Take it easy tonight. Watch some TV.
Did you watch the big fight last night?
No.
No? I got to give a shout out to literally. All right, we've talked about this. Like, when you get into comedy.
The big fight last night would be the.
Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather.
The wife beater versus the racist, right?
Unfortunately, yes. I still like to think that McGregor's not a racist, that it's a culture thing, but I'm not going to defend him. I mean, you don't.
What did he do? I don't know. That's
he called Mayweather boy. You don't call a black guy boy.
No.
And that's
Irish didn't know the implications.
Well, that kind of falls under my concept of idiot or asshole. You know, one or the other.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, you're an idiot, and if you did know, you're an asshole. So equally at fault. But anyway, I'm hoping it's a cultural thing and he didn't realize the faux pas, but who knows. But I will say this, the whole – and I know you don't give a shit about sports, much less combat sports, but anybody who saw the fight, like because McGregor had never had a professional boxing match, he's an MMA guy, and Mayweather, even though he's a piece of shit – and by the way, I'll say this too. Yes, he has – now he's 50-0, undefeated his whole career, but he's a really defensive boxer. Like his whole skill set is just don't get hit, and he'll just pepper the other guy with little bitty punches just to score points. I don't think – a lot of people talk about him as being the best fighter, best boxer of all time. I think that is absolute bullshit.
Technical but without passion.
Exactly. I don't think a defensive fighter can be labeled the best fighter of all time. With even though – talk about separating the man from the – crime or Tyson.
Talk about him as an athlete.
Yeah. Tyson's a piece of shit too with what he did, but that someone like that, that's a fucking boxer. Someone who's just an out there just a killing machine.
I love how in this day and age of everybody like the unforgivable offensive, Mike Tyson convicted of rape.
Convicted of rape.
People just wearing all like this Tyson gear all of a sudden.
Well, not even that.
He's cool. Give him a cartoon.
He's on the talk shows. He's in movies. Convicted of rape.
I mean, is that just that, like, all right, I guess we forgave him or forgot about it because he went to jail and did his time? Is that how society is supposed to progress? Like, you did something bad, you went to prison for doing the bad thing, and now you're back, and we allow that? Is that society accepting it, or is it people just being picky and ignorant about, you know...
I don't know.
They want to jump all over for their crimes.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, I don't think Mayweather can be considered the best fighter of all time when his whole skill set is just don't get hit and throw these.
Didn't kick him at all?
No, he behaved. They did do a lot of weird, like there was two or three times where like they would get wrapped up and Mayweather just turned his whole body to McGregor, and then McGregor's got him in like a reverse bear hug. And he's like, and you could tell his instincts almost kicked into where like he wanted to like body slam him or something. But it was weird, like two or three times, like Mayweather, who obviously is the more of the boxer between the two, would do these weird little turns and like so McGregor was still punching him even though he was like spooning him. Then eventually the ref would jump in and make him separate. But anyway, point being, I was going to say, like. When you start comedy, and this is not necessarily a good thing, but you lose track of all your old friends. Like I literally, I don't have any friends that aren't comedians, or at least somehow affiliated with show business.
I'm mostly that way.
I got one buddy that I still keep in communication with from way back in the day. Shout out to my buddy Guthrie Turner, just out of the blue. Mm-hmm. He just sent me a link on my phone, and I was afraid to open it. But it was from him, so I trusted him. But watched the fight for free on my phone last night. I don't know how – I'm so bad at all that
you
free –
have all the other homeless people get around your van?
Taking bets around the bonfire.
We got a treat tonight, guys. He's got the fight on his phone.
Y'all come over to my place, quote unquote. But yeah, shout out to Guthrie Turner, good buddy. He also has a podcast of his own. I believe it's called The Rec League. So go listen to The Rec League. It's all about Atlanta sports. It's very niche.
Yeah.
But, he just sent me the link.
But wasn't everybody calling it fake? They were calling the fight fake?
because the referee, you could argue the referee stopped it a little prematurely.
I thought beforehand they were calling it a fake fight or like a setup.
Because it's a money grab.
It is a money grab,
but I don't think it was fake in the sense that like it wasn't staged or
rigged. What do they call those? Like preseason game, exhibition
games. Exhibition, like, yeah. Yeah, and it was an exhibition in the sense that, you know, on paper it was a huge circus. But that's why it was – it turned out to be such an interesting fight because McGregor held his own for 10 rounds. It was a 12-round fight.
Really?
He made it to the 10th round. And probably at least four or five of those rounds, he was winning on points. Really? They do a point system, a 10-9. You know, if, you know, each round they that's how they judge. In the event that it does go the distance and no one gets knocked out or quits or whatever, then they go to the points. Mm-hmm. And McGregor run about four of those rounds.
But now will they do it the other way around?
No. Which that would be hilarious because put it this way, Mayweather would definitely not last. You know, he wouldn't make it 75% into the.
He wouldn't make it nearly as long.
No, that would literally be a 30-second fight. Because McGregor would just take him down, like he would tackle him, take him down, and then choke him out or put him in an armbar or something. But all you heard was, and on paper it was a circus. You know, here's a guy who one guy, some people argue the best fighter of all time, perfect record, 49-0. Mm-hmm. Another guy literally never had a professional boxing match. Great in MMA, but never had a boxing match. Dude lasted 10 rounds and won half the rounds. And, like, it was a pretty evenly matched fight up until the 10th round. And Mayweather didn't even really just beat him up. McGregor gassed. You could tell he just ran out of steam. He wasn't prepared physically.
Yeah.
You know, his cardio wasn't up. And he just ran out of gas. And Mayweather just started peppering him with small punches. I mean, not small punches, but none of them. He didn't knock him down, is what I'm saying. Didn't knock him down.
Not a knockout. TKO,
not a knockdown.
Right?
Not a knockout. He was just punching him so many times that McGregor wasn't really responding. And then the ref stepped in and stopped the fight. So people were a little upset about that, and myself included. I thought it was stopped a little bit prematurely, but if you look at the fact that there were still 2 minutes left in that round, McGregor hadn't thrown a punch in 30 seconds. He had taken about 10, 12 unanswered punches, so it was just a matter of time before, you know, he was going to be down and out. But yeah, so point being, it was not the circus. It wasn't the lopsided circus that everybody thought it would be.
It was an event.
It was an event, and McGregor, even though he lost – he put up a hell of a fight. He actually landed, not to bore you with boxing details, but he landed more punches than Manny Pacquiao did, who is kind of a legend in his own right, who fought Mayweather 2 years ago.
And he's the homophobe for the Philippines.
Yeah, but he was one of the best. McGregor landed more punches than Pacquiao did against the same opponent, so interesting. That's our boxing report.
I just never – like the machismo was always – it was like when I would see two people start to fight in high school. I was like, oh, God.
I get it. But here's the beauty of combat sports, and I will say this. It's the most – it's the closest thing to a meritocracy like in sports. Like because sports in general is filled with machismo. Football, even non-contact sports like baseball and basketball. There's so much – but like – MMA or boxing, it's like literally like no, I literally
it's
kicked your ass.
Yeah, it's boiled down. Like that's I know that's why people like MMA, like it's boiled down to just fight each other.
Mm-hmm.
What are the rules? No eye gouging, no biting. No
yeah, there's a few rules. Yeah, no nut stuff. And going back to our conversation months ago about pro wrestling, and I feel like I failed to make this point. The reason I am so uninterested in pro wrestling and the reason I was so offended that they covered it on SportsCenter is the complete lack of actual competition. I get that it's a spectacle and I get that those guys are great athletes, but there is zero actual competition involved in the fact that it's predetermined. Whereas any other sports, especially a combat sport, it is nothing but competition, you know? So that was my problem.
Like, competition just at an early age where somebody's like, I'm better at this than you. I'd just be like, cool.
I get that.
Like, I don't know. And I'm not like totally anti-sports. I watch stuff here and there. But just when some kid who just use your words. Like, I'm going to fucking beat your ass in this thing today. Like, Let me get out of the way. You want the goal? Well, there it is. Let me move so you can get it in there.
Yeah.
Because I never found any pride to just like. I guess that's the team thing, you know. Because you'd be in gym class, and this was, you know, gym class was like the great leveling field. Because I was in my nerd classes, and you get the gym class, where now it was just like the fucking prison yard of high school.
Yeah, that's funny.
And like, this is your team. You all want to work towards a common goal. I'm like, yeah, but I hate these fucking guys.
We're only on a team because we live in the same neighborhood.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about their goals. Go fuck about what they want to do. Like, and I all my friends were back in the other class. But that's also my own, like, I don't like these guys, so fuck them. Like, I was also a dick in high school.
Yeah.
Nerds were dicks, too.
I will say, though, sports does have – there's a lot of merit and value that can be obtained from sports as a child in the sense of, like –
Teamwork.
Absolutely. The working for something bigger than just yourself, you know, sacrificing for a group, you know. But I get your point of, like, if I hate these idiots anyway, why would I do that? But – and I will say this about pro sports, and I think I made this point before, but, like, it's escapism just like your comic books, just like your superhero movies, just like your TV show. It's escapism. But also – sports themselves, like especially if you're talking collegiate or pro, and you know, I get the whole pro thing, they're millionaires and blah blah blah, but like especially someone who's in the opposite field of like show business, sports is a pure meritocracy. You know, when you got a pro football team, there's 11 players on the field, there's 52 players on the roster. Nobody's on that field or on that roster because of how they look, or because of who they know, or because who their daddy is. It's, no, you fucking earned it. You were the best man or woman or person for this particular role.
You like, don't think so?
No, absolutely. No, because it's all about winning. Like, no one's doing anybody any favors. No one's in the NFL because their daddy
Colin
hooked them up.
Is Kaepernick a good football player?
Kaepernick. He is he's decent.
What's the big thing now? He can't get a team to...
Exactly, and I don't know how
that's
to feel about
like
that.
That's the people upset with him. Yeah, but like
exactly. Why anybody would be upset with him? The guy's so what? He's standing up for something he believes in. Point. The Kaepernick thing is, if he was a better quarterback, he would have a job. Like,
so that's what I'm wondering. Like, is that the whole like people don't want to touch him because of controversy, or is he not a?
It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
The other side of that argument is you could make an argument that there are quarterbacks in the NFL right now who have a job who aren't as good as him. Like,
yeah,
and you know, it's a subjective thing, but like, if he were Tom Brady level, or you know, if he were top tier level, regardless of what his activism or whatever, he would have a job. Yeah. But he's right in that gray area of like, is the I don't even see negative because it shouldn't be negative attention, but is the attention he's bringing us as a team worth?
Is that like, it's the people don't want to deal with.
Yeah,
it.
Exactly. So, but that is why I've always loved sports, just especially in show business, where you know the cold hard reality I learned when I moved here was like, oh, it for the most part doesn't matter how good you are at stand up. You know, as far as like getting certain,
but I didn't,
the things that we get.
That's the only time I got competitive is when I'd be on a show, no matter what the show is. I'm going to be, or at least try my damnedest to be the best person on the show, no matter what it was, and not because I got to beat that person. It's like no, that's the only insurance to move to the next level. If I could walk away going, I kicked ass on that show,
yeah.
And people kick ass in different ways. It's not like you're the best one on the show. Some people, you know, if I'm on a show with Josh Fadum and he's doing all his maniac shit falling all over the place in pratfalls, which I think is amazing, like physically, that's like professional wrestling and comedy, all that stuff. But it's like the laughs he gets are like different, it would say different category of laughs. So I wouldn't be like, well, that was a different type of thing. But like, I want, like,
but
the best person on the show.
Yeah,
is what I
and that's my point. Though is those sports isn't subjective. It's like no, that guy hit the most home runs. That guy's the fastest. That guy's the strongest. Whereas comedy or any other form of entertainment, it's hard to judge.
Arguing. Well, then why do people argue about fucking sports all the time? If you could just look at numbers,
argue in what sense? In what regard?
Like, oh, the '96 Bulls was the best team all time. No, this team was the best team. Well, who won more? Then there's your answer.
Well, because then, well, who? then you there's variables like, you know, they were playing different competition, you know, was it's and yeah, I get your point, but that happens a lot, like in baseball. Baseball's such a there's a lot of history involved with baseball. It's like, well, Babe Ruth hit more home runs than Albert Pujols, but then you could say, well, the Babe Ruth was hitting against subpar pitching, like the his opponents weren't as good.
So, I guess so,
you know, so that's where the debates come in. But as far as like season to season, like in that season, in that moment, there is no arguing that this guy hit the most home runs, this guy was the fat, whatever. This team won the most games, as opposed to
time
like,
travel is going to fuck up sports.
Well, yeah, look at Back to the Future too.
I'm talking about like you're going to go kidnap a player and bring him back.
Ooh,
you know.
Oh, what if you took a player, a modern-day
like
player?
Fantasy football is now going to now stretch across the space-time continuum.
God, that would be funny. If you took – oh, my God.
You just have to exist now. You'll be like
– oh, my God. If you took like the Adrian Peterson or you took a modern NFL running back and took him back to 1945 NFL, oh, my God, the damage he would do.
Yeah.
Because that's funny too, just seeing like – or like, you take LeBron James and put him on the 1959 Celtics.
Yeah. There you go.
Somebody – oh, who was it, my buddy? Oh, our buddy Joe Zimmerman had a great tweet. He was comparing LeBron to Bob Cousy. Any basketball fans out there will remember Bob Cousy was like this 5'10 white guy in 1950s who dribbled like your dad might play basketball out in the driveway. But he was like the best player in 1959. He was like, you know, it is hard. Like, I don't know who would win between LeBron James and Bob Cousy. And when, like, in reality, there's miles of difference between the two. But just comparing, like, the elite guy from 2017 to the elite guy from back then.
Well, it's still the same rules. How are players outside of, I mean, not speaking of steroids and stuff like that, what is it that players, is it the training techniques?
I think it's the training techniques.
The equipment's changing.
I think it's all that. Plus, I think just, you know, this is a whole other can of worms, but people are just getting bigger. Like the average man in 2017, I think, is bigger than the average man in 1950.
Really?
Maybe average man, I don't know, but athlete for sure. Like the average NBA player in 1950, and I'm pulling this out of my ass, maybe 6'1", 6'2". The average player now is 6'8", 6'9". You know, same thing with football.
Yeah.
NFL lineman today average is 6'6", 300 pounds on average. A lineman back in the 50s was 6'1", 215.
Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
It's crazy how much bigger and faster and stronger people have gotten.
You played football?
Yeah, played in college.
What were yours?
Linebacker. Linebacker and kicker.
Oh, really?
That's an odd combination.
Throwing those gams out there.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I could kick. I had a boot. I booted
and
that
linebacker
shit.
Is just linebacker's, smashing guys.
Yeah, just played kind of in the middle of the field on defense. And
you ever get fucked up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got fucked up. I got a concussion.
Really?
I got my knees fucked up. Got my feelings hurt. All kinds of shit.
Yeah, man. Concussion. Blowing out knee. My feelings got hurt.
That was great, though. Oh, I loved it. Couldn't get enough.
Really?
Like, yeah. Like, and I got, like, I understood. I ran with all different types of people, like, in high
Which
school.
Which vocational school had the, had the football team?
Oh, man. We were, North Carolina School of Industrial Air Conditioning Repair. We had a good squad, dude. We were good. We had a good squad. But no, I mean, like, I had my jock friends in high school, but I also had, like, my drama club friends, and I had my musician, my band dudes.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, you know, whatever works for you. But 17-year-old piss and vinegar, too much testosterone day, football was a wonderful outlet for that. Just having a bad day, I'm just going to smash some motherfuckers.
Man, what was I doing? I was just being a spaz. Like, I didn't have any physical. I'd like go ride my bike, but I was so bad at it.
Yeah.
It didn't do anything.
You weren't a rad dude yet?
Man, I'm never a rad dude.
Yeah. You're still, pretty rad now. I've seen you shred.
Man, I fell over. I didn't fall off the bike, but I fucked up some jumps the other night. did everything short of putting my face into the side of a jump because I mistimed him. I just put my pedal in the back of my leg. Got some snake bites back there now.
That sucks.
I'm trying to think, like 17 years old, where you're at the peak of being a fucking spazzed out, teenage boy.
Yeah.
18, I found alcohol. I never turned back.
Yeah. See, I was a late bloomer with that. I didn't have a drink till I was 25.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Late bloomer on the alcohol.
What was it that kept you away? Guilt?
Oh.
Jesus?
Yeah, I don't know. I remember what it was that turned me to it.
Yeah.
But that's a story for another time.
Okay. Part two of this podcast that has not gone anywhere this week. Oh. We still talked about militias a little bit, but it wasn't so conspiratorial. It's just, I stand by fuck militias. I stand by a mix of cults, of orgy based cult activity, also with firearms, standing up for the good of the people. So that's I think that's what I take away from this.
According to the Anti-Defamation League, there are as many as 500 militias currently in the United States.
Some of those are just six dudes. Some of those are six dudes that met at Walmart.
I still think we should start a militia.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I still, like I said, gentrify the NRA and deplete the power of the white men in charge of it.
Mm-hmm.
Why not have like open ended? Like, yeah, there's our gender neutral, queer, trans militia, open to all.
Absolutely,
and have that have that marching.
Absolutely, I know that's kind of a joke, but I couldn't agree more. Like, I would love to see gay folks, trans folks, whomever, show up at the next NRA meeting.
These are the people.
They'll be like, hey, we like guns too.
Guess who's also covered under the Constitution? All these people.
Yep.
The same rights that you think you're standing up for also apply to these people.
Mm-hmm.
So, I still.
Black Lives Matter folks.
Get in there. Black Lives Matter is probably considered a fucking gang movement, except militias are just like, well, they're just defenders of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what they're trying to do now with Antifa. They're just anti-fascist.
Yeah. But then it's the argument, as soon as you're anti-fascist and you start behaving this way, that makes you the fascist.
That's true.
Because you were trying to control it. But man, I'm getting real close to just wanting to delete all the news apps on my phone and just put my head in the sand.
It is a bit of a bummer these days.
Be like, you know what? I stand by you, but I can't keep reading about it.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't helping.
Yeah.
You got want to talk about fun foods?
Fun foods? Yeah, man. Got a good recipe. Pulled this out of my ass the other day.
That's a weird place to get a recipe.
I was dog sitting for a friend, and they were like, have at so it's dog sitting.
Start weird.
This dog was getting on my nerves, and no, they were like, I like this move. The hey, help yourself to whatever's in the fridge, and then there's nothing in the fridge. Like, well, that was just an empty gesture.
That's the only way I would say it.
Yeah. So, I'm sure this has been done before, but I made myself some bacon fried rice.
Ooh.
Bacon fried rice, my friend.
All right, all right.
Yeah, here's what we do. All right. Get you a quarter of a white onion. Get you a white or yellow onion. You only need about a quarter of it. The recipe I'm about to spew at you serves about two people. So you get you about two servings out of these quantities.
You and a loved one.
Quarter of a white onion.
Clog your hearts together.
Slice that shit up real thin. I like a really thinly sliced onion. All right. Three cloves of garlic. Fresh garlic, thinly sliced. One green onion, just one of the little sprouts that kind of looks like two. It forks off, but just one green onion, roughly chopped. You don't have to chop that up real thin. I like a rough chop on a green onion. All right. Got your white onion. You got your garlic. Got your green onion. Chop that shit up. Set it aside. Put that in. You'll get to it in a minute. Boil you up one cup of rice. If you don't know the standard formula with rice, one part rice, two parts water. So we'll do one cup of rice, two cups of water, bring that to a boil, And then once it gets to boiling, bring it down to – turn that heat down to low. Let it simmer. Cover it and simmer it for 15 minutes. Boom, you got you a pot of rice.
Love fried rice.
All right. While the rice is boiling, all right, get you 6 slices of bacon and fry that shit up in a frying pan. And then set that aside. Once it's fried, that'll be done. That'll be done in that 15 minutes that the rice is cooking. You'll already have the bacon done. Yeah. All right. So pull the bacon out, set it aside, preferably on a paper towel. Let it soak up some of that grease. Leave that grease, that bacon grease, in that frying pan. Turn that heat back on that frying pan. Now you want to throw in the onions,
all your fixings,
and the garlic and the green onion. Saute that shit up. Then when the rice is done cooking, throw it on top. Add a big knob of butter, some salt and pepper. Stir that shit around for about 3 minutes. You got bacon fried rice.
Man.
That's my D, dude. That's my D.
I agree with – fried rice is just – you can really interpret yourself.
Mm-hmm. You have fun with this. You know, it's like art.
Ever tell you how I ate raw bacon once?
No.
Let me tell you that story.
Explain.
Me and my buddy Joe, he's living in New York. He just moved out there for grad school. I visit him. I was like crashing on his floor, and we woke up one day talking about like, I don't like crispy bacon. I like that flimsy bacon. Uh-huh. It's like, me too.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, the flimsier the better.
Uh-huh.
And so he barely seared a side of bacon.
Ooh.
And we just ate straight up raw bacon. And his wife at the time, he married his fiance was there. She's like, that's not going to go well. And we're like, no, this is how we like our bacon.
I like chewy bacon, but I don't, you know.
We straight up, we had to get off the subway at every stop to shit ourselves.
Wow.
For the whole ride in New York. We're getting out, like, let's go explore New York. Oof. And a whole day just we poisoned our bodies.
Oh, that's rough.
I just, there's so many things, I heard his, like, ex-girlfriend had a story about it. Like, she was worried about her dog because just ate a plastic bag and it was half coming out its ass. And she's like, it might die. So it ate a bag. And I wanted to be like, stupid dog. And I'm like, I can't judge. I can't judge a dog. Like,
shit.
I'm putting so much stuff that, like, yeah, I can't. I might have change in my stomach. I don't know. I bet when I die and they do an autopsy, you'd be like, yeah, like, he had at least 28 cents inside of him.
Yeah, it's like when they find a dolphin or a whale.
Yeah, there's a license
dead
plate
body,
and a galosh.
A dead shark. They open its belly up. There's like a boat and
just,
a boot.
Just license plates.
Oh, my God.
Toilet seats.
That's funny. Oh, my God. That's so funny. By the way, I call it bacon fried rice. You fry it up if you want, but I just throw it back. I throw that rice back in there for about 3 minutes. Just incorporate all that shit. Oh, yeah, and chop up that bacon and throw it in there. You don't want just 6 full slices of bacon in a pot of rice.
My breakfast fried rice. Although, if you put the egg in there with it, too.
Ooh. Oh, boy. Look at you, Kyle.
I'm getting it.
Look at you.
I'm getting it.
There you go.
I'm figuring it out.
Scramble up an egg and throw that in the rice. Boom. Breakfast fried rice.
How do they make I fucked it up with rice once. How do they make it with it? Like, they just crack the egg into the rice while they're stirring it, right? To put the egg in there sometimes?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it would be.
I tried it. I screwed it up.
You got to have a heat component. Like.
Well, no, like you're heating the rice, you're frying the rice, and then you just crack the egg into it. But it didn't come out the way Fred. Well, of course it didn't come out. I don't cook anything.
Yeah, that's all right. But yeah, that's some real.
I like bacon fried rice, sounds good. I've been eating meat more and more.
Some real white trash recipe for you there. Bacon fried rice. Probably not the healthiest, but hey, you know, you make do with the ingredients you have, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed some bacon fried rice. Comic of the week.
I'm going to say Andy Peters.
Andy Peters, our good buddy, L.A.-based comedian. Where's he from originally, do you think? Seattle?
I know he worked in Seattle. I don't know if he's originally from there. And I haven't seen him in a long time. I was talking with somebody the other day, and his name came up. I'm like, man, he's one of the dudes, like, every time I see him, like, oh, shit. Like, oh, like, when you see he's on a show, like, oh, this is going to be a good show.
Yeah.
I don't care who else is on the lineup.
Very funny dude. Andy Peters put out an album a couple years ago called !
Mm-hmm.
See what he did there? And I think he's got a special. I feel like I've seen a special on Hulu or something.
I have a link, which we can put somewhere.
Yeah.
His album's on Spotify, and I have a public link where people could watch clips. But I'm not going to read the link because nobody's going to write that down.
But I think I saw his special on Hulu at some point.
I think it was, and now it's up for now sale. It's
not. Okay, gotcha, yeah. Gotcha. But yeah, the album definitely available wherever you get that stuff. Exclamation mark, question point, Andy Peters,
he's
Comic of the Week.
He's a fun, silly doofus.
Yeah, just, he is a fun, silly doofus. Yeah.
When you talk about people that don't take themselves too seriously, he's fun, he's yeah. silly, and it's nice to see that when, you know,
and quick
the comics that just sit on the stool like, oh, man. Yeah. World's rough right now. I'm like, no, I want to see goofy, fun shit sometimes. Exactly. I mean, I like both, but
yeah,
I like the silly ones.
Yeah. He's a goofball. It's your Comic of the Week. Plug some stuff real quick. We made the announcement this week on Twitter. But yeah, first ever live Boogie Monster podcast.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Going to be in Atlanta, part of the Red Clay Comedy Festival. Saturday, September 30th. It's a 5:30 p.m. show, early show. Because we got real comedy shows to do later that night. And the Earl. Now, as of what I've been told right now, tickets are only available to festival pass holders.
Get a festival pass. Get lots of fun shit going on.
Lots of fun shit. There's going to be tons of great shit. You're doing a big show. Nikki Glaser doing a big show. I'll be doing sets all over town. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, last weekend in September. RedClayComedy.com is where you can go. And I don't know what they're charging for the whole festival pass, but it's not too much. Maybe $75, something like that, and get you into everything for the whole weekend. Get you into everything. So as of right now,
3-day passes are sold out for early bird. Standard 3-day passes are $50.
$50. Look at that. And so what we're saying is, as of now, only people getting into our live podcast are pass holders. Closer to the date of the show, if there's still some room, they'll release some individual tickets. But why chance it? Go ahead and get those festival pass. We're at the Earl, Great Little Rock Club. That's where I opened for Patton Oswalt years ago. Great club. And 5:30. Oh. And special guest, we're going to have our buddy Gilbert Lowen. He's going to be a special guest, New York by way of Atlanta comedian. Mm-hmm. Our good buddy Ryan Singer, host of Me and Paranormal You podcast.
Yeah.
And then our third guest.
Go on, say it, Dave.
Lead singer of my favorite band, Drive-By Truckers, Patterson Hood. Patterson Hood going to be a guest on the Boogie Monster, and I'll try not to fanboy out on him and freak him out.
Does he know what he's getting into?
I don't think he does, no. But they are in town that same week. By the way, I got to hook up. You and I get to go probably backstage, hang out with the truckers.
Yeah.
If you want to.
When are they playing? Again,
they're playing the Variety Playhouse all weekend.
Because then, I was going to say, part of if you get the VIP passes for Red Clay Festival.
Yes.
Special Saturday private performance.
Yes. That's
only
either
for VIP
right before or right after us is
so
Patterson's.
Make an evening of it.
Yeah, so you get to see Patterson solo, get to see us. It's going to be a good time. So redclaycomedy.com. Our first ever live podcast. That's going to be fun. Also, patreon.com/boogiemonster. If you want to be a patron of the Boogie Monster, we appreciate. Big shout out to everybody who's already signed up for that. We released our Q&A episode a couple weeks ago. As this comes out, we are literally days away from the debut of Dave's Kitchen. So
yeah.
All
in the editing bay.
It's in the edit. It's in the room right now. Hopefully, it doesn't all wind up on the floor. But cooking up some chili. First episode of Dave's Kitchen.
Honestly, that if it's the same chili or a variation thereof that I had, and you're fuck, man.
It's pretty good. And I'm pretty proud. I talk a lot of shit, you know.
I know. I had the chili, man.
It's pretty good. So I'm going to teach you how to make my badass chili.
Give one ingredient that people would have no ideas in it, and that would entice them to want to know what's going on.
Ham hocks. Smoked ham hocks. There you go.
Was there?
There's other weird shit in it.
Peaches in the batch that I tasted?
In the batch that you had, yes. There was pureed peaches.
Man, it was a whole thing.
Mm-hmm. A lot of weird shit going on there. But it's all about that umami, baby. I'm chasing that umami dragon.
I get it, man.
So I'm teaching you how to make badass chili on the first episode of Dave's Kitchen. We're going to try to drop those around the first of every month for our patrons. If you're not a patron, get on it. Patreon.com/BoogieMonster.
$4 a month.
$4 freaking a month. You get the Q&A every month, and you get the Dave's Kitchen every month. $4 a month. So get on that, and we'll get enough of those, and I can stop driving Lyft. So, you know, just, you know, go
You're
ahead.
You're going to have to tell your hero is going to be next to you, and you're going to be like, so you believe in ghosts? That's going to be fun to watch. That's going to be – just to watch his face go, what the fuck did I sign up for? Try to sing about the hardships of people in the South. This dipshit wants to talk about aliens. That's going to be something to see.
Oh, boy.
Come watch the discomfort of Patterson Hood.
Anything to plug?
I got a little 10-day tour I'm going to be out on, starting on the 8th at the Blue Whale Fest in Tulsa. I put it all up on Instagram, so you can see the dates. I won't worry. But, yeah, I'm going through the Midwest, Tulsa, Arkansas. First time in Arkansas. First time there. So
where are you doing in Arkansas?
A place called Vino's in Little Rock.
Okay, cool. I know some good folks in Arkansas.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. Got Memphis in there, St. Louis, Lexington, Cleveland, a lot of Iowa, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Columbus.
Nice.
Turn to the old Woodlands Tavern in Columbus, yeah. Always a good time.
Yeah, you've been there several times.
I like that place.
That's cool.
So yeah, and if it's sold out, I'm adding second shows if it's sold out, so stay tuned for that stuff if it happens. But yeah, that's about it for me. Sorry we didn't get to any.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
I feel weird being like, yeah, I'm sorry we didn't really have a topic for this one, but it's not like, you know.
They know the drill.
I didn't want to get heavy after last week.
Yeah, I get it.
Well, you're all kind to listen to us.
Yeah, we appreciate you. I'll plug real quick. Every Monday, if you're in Los Angeles, Public House, myself and Lisa Best host a show called Fringe, 10 p.m. every Monday in the Los Feliz neighborhood of Los Angeles. Public House Fringe. Free beer, free pizza, free show. Come watch some tomfoolery. You were there last week.
I like that little space.
You were there last week when
I was
hosting, and I called the audience a bunch of fucking idiots, but like in a fun way.
Yeah, no, they got it. Yeah, they left. They were like, yeah, we are.
They get it.
It was a fun little gathering, and I was over there. I did two shows that night and got a little cocked off myself.
Offered you a spot, but you're like, fuck these morons. I'm not going to do
That's
comedy.
That's not how I meant it at all.
No. Oh, okay.
I was liquored up. I told you, it was a week-long bender, man.
Yeah.
It was really...
Liquored up and lacquered down.
Well, we're getting back to it again tonight, so...
All right. Cool.
All right, buddy.
The Boogie Monster. Bye.